If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, jumping ahead in the story, much nearer to the end, after the Philistine said something to David, notice in verse 45, David was the one to come against Goliath of Gath. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword. Boys and girls, it's one of the favorite stories in the whole history of God's people for most children and for most adults as well. David, the young man who is still in his teens, killed Goliath, that fearful and experienced warrior of the Philistines. When we read this story of David destroying the terrible enemy of the Jews, we have a repetition of the theme that we find beginning in history about the time of Abraham, repeated in the time of Moses, repeated again in the days of Joshua, repeated over and over in the lives of the judges, repeated in the life of Samuel, and now with young David. And the story, time and again, happens something in the same way. The people of God have been oppressed by terrifying enemies. Foes often surrounded Israel. You remember it was a small country, and they had enemy countries all around them. And these countries often threatened to extinguish the life of the Jews. But God would raise up a deliverer, a savior, who would conquer their vicious enemies and rout the armies of those who sought to destroy Israel. And often they would do it single-handedly, as David did in this particular case. A champion then to bring victory to the people of God. The scene here is quite vivid. There was a hideous monster of a man that defied the armies of Israel. Goliath of Gath, we read in verse 4. And to translate some of these figures into the terms of that you would understand, he would have been a giant to the pro basketball players of our day. He would have been at least 10 feet tall, probably 11 feet tall. He carried a coat of armor that weighed 208 pounds. Just the weight of the spear, the spearhead that he carried, was 25 pounds of iron. A huge man, huge weapon, fearful to look upon, inviting anyone to face him in hand-to-hand combat, offering that whoever would win that battle would win all the spoils of the battlefield. You'll see the results of that challenge in verse 11. Saul and all Israel were dismayed and greatly frightened by that sight of the giant, a true giant, standing in the valley. But David was sent by God one day, sent at the very time that the giant was giving his challenge to the people of God and defying the armies of the living God. And it was that that entered deep into David's soul. Here was a man that was defying the armies of God's people and bringing dishonor to the Lord of hosts himself through it. Look down in verse 26, a verse that we skipped as we were reading along. David's reaction when he heard it, the end of verse 26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Or again in verse 32, David going to the king Saul and saying, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And without armor, without the normal weapons of combat, with only his shepherd's crook and his shepherd's sling, he went to face this experienced warrior on the battlefield all alone. And with bold confidence in God, he killed the giant and put to flight all of the armies of the Philistines. He turned the entire field into a rout, and all the people of God joined into the victory and felt the enthusiasm of the moment as the giant fell and the man of God was victorious. So I'd like you to notice in particular this evening from this account that this, as many of the Bible scenes, is quite gory. such battles are vicious, and the descriptions of them in Scripture are very vivid.
Look at verse 46. Where David goes to Goliath and challenges him. The very words, the gory words, the sanguine words that he uses. I will smite you and take your head from you. Again in verse 51. Then David ran and took Goliath's sword and drew it out of his sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And if you follow through the story, verse 54, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. A souvenir, a trophy of the battle. Or again in verse 57, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner, the captain of the Jewish army, took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. So you get the picture of young David proudly carrying this trophy, this head that he had taken from the giant's shoulders. And no doubt in this first encounter that he ever had on the battlefield, his clothing was spattered with blood. And yet, he rejoiced in displaying the defeated enemy. He even counted the blood-spattered garment as a sign of honor in having fought for the Lord God of hosts. And so you see the story is very sanguine in both senses of that word. Sanguine in the sense of it being bloody, sanguine in the sense of the blood of men flowing through them with enthusiasm at the victory that was brought. And we cannot help thinking that every such deliverance of God's people was a mere prelude to the great contest that took place in history. That every deliverer was only a very small symbol of the great Savior. David was a Savior that day. But only a picture of the great Savior who was to come. And of course I refer to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose death we just remembered. Jesus Christ came into this world to enter into combat. To enter into combat with the enemies of the souls of his people, the devil, the wicked angel. He was a fearsome champion of them, and that is Satan himself. The powers of darkness could conquer men by themselves. And man is unable to resist them. The devil can take men captive at his sordid will, we read in the scripture. And every man of us is hearing the voice of the devil with dreams. That if we by ourselves would enter combat with the devil, he would deliver up our souls to the fowls of the heavens to devour and cast us down into hell. Absolutely convinced that it would be that way. But God set the stage for a duel. A duel between the champion of the powers of darkness and the champion of the power of righteousness in Jesus Christ his Son. And the field of combat was Calvary. The devil carried an awesome weapon on that day. It was the sword of death. Our Lord Jesus Christ snatched that sword from the hand of the prince of demons and used it to slay him. The monster the devil was beheaded. And this aspect of the conquest of Christ over the devil is displayed very clearly in the New Testament. Let me turn you to just two passages quickly. Hebrews chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage to that wicked one. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his death triumphed over the devil. Or Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Colossians 2 and verse 15. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ again, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over the minute. Gives you the picture of David carrying that head of the giant around, doesn't he? Openly displayed his triumph over them, making a show of them openly before all. When we come to the symbols of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's not with any tender sympathy of a widow who mourns the loss of her husband and head. It is a death which the Lord Jesus Christ took into his hands voluntarily in order that that death might take the head off the devil and utterly destroy him in the powers of darkness and the grip that they had upon his people. As we see his broken body, we also see the beheaded giant of the devil. And as we see his spilled blood, we also see that his garments are spattered with the blood of another one. And that's the devil himself. It was a bloody duel indeed. But joy will fill the heart of any Christian who understands the nature of the combat and all the blood that was involved. Isaiah vividly pictures our conquering Lord in just these sanguine terms. Let me turn you to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. And notice how our Lord Jesus Christ is pictured by the prophet. What would his coming be? All the different pictures that the prophets drew were vivid. Begins to talk of Edom, one of those enemy countries that threatened the existence of Israel. It starts with a statement of amazement in Isaiah 63 and verse 1. Who is this that comes from Edom? With dyed garments from Bozra, the capital of Edom. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Well, he must answer for himself. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, that's his coming from Edom, the enemy country. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Question again, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Not a naturally red garment that you wear. And thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress, with all the juice spattered up on his skirt. But this is the juice that comes from the veins of men. I have trodden the winepress alone, comes the answer. Ah, we have the champion who single-handedly wins the battle. And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. He's going to redeem his people as he takes vengeance on his enemies. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to oppose. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me, and I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. What do such scenes of bloodshed and victory say to you? What did they say to those who stood by when David won the victory over the giant? Well, if you go back to 1 Samuel 17, you'll see what it said to them in verse 51. As soon as David lifted the head off of the Philistine, it routed the army of the enemy. The Philistines saw their champion was dead, they ran. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted in pursuit. And they went on with the battle that David really won single-handedly. Well, what is the reaction of the Christian who sees the conquering Christ who has destroyed his arch-enemy, the devil? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does it say to the Christian? It says, get up from your squatting position of fear and timidity. Pursue the forces of evil, whether they're in your own heart, or whether they're in the world that's round about you, or whether they're in the community that you're living in. They are routed and they must fall, for Christ has destroyed the wicked one. The champion is beheaded. Those who are not too squeamish to think of it, see Christ carrying the trophy of his battle into the very courts of heaven. We stand over the enemy and triumph with him. Christ is the Savior, you see, and he came to save us people from their sins, and to save his people from the powers of darkness. And we watched him go up Calvary. We watched him go up Calvary, and in a sense he was meek and quiet of spirit, and did not answer again the men that opposed him. But in another sense, he went up Calvary in the fury of his anger, taking vengeance upon the wicked one who dared to take mankind from God with his temptation, and to bring him into the train of his conquest, or his attempt to fight the Holy One. And he's coming again. twice in the book of Revelation, that his work of healing is not yet ended, and that his people will come with him when he comes again to join the army that utterly defeats those who are their enemies. But we, in the meantime, should enter into the battle with the enthusiasm that we see in the army that observed the victory of David and followed him in pursuit of the Philistines. And we too, believing that the champion of wickedness is done for, should join in the fight and overthrow them.